Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Our spiritual leaders, many, have forsaken God, and we desperately need an awakening in this nation. And don't think for a moment that God isn't able to do that. When you look at the Apostle Paul, he was basically a good, religious, lost person. He was their poster child. Mainline churches are filled with people who don't know Jesus. And so don't assume because you have a relative that's in church somewhere that they know Jesus and they're ready for the rapture. Don't assume that. But all of us need to do what Jesus did. And I believe it's a wonderful soul-winning question when he said, "Who do you say that I am?" Now, they'd been traveling with him for 3 years at least at that point. And Jesus nailed them down as a group and individually and said, "Who do you say that I am?" And that testimony, either it's clear or else it won't stand. Peter had it right, didn't he? "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that's a testimony, if it comes by the Spirit out of us, is because the Spirit of God is in us. Amen? And so may this be the case for our families. So three things I want to talk to you about out of Zephaniah and Haggai this morning. The first is that all of us who have eyes to see and a mind to perceive, we are able to discern what's going on around us. And so when we look around, there's a certain message that we receive. And of course, that's given to us by media. But it's also given to us simply by our own communities, through the newspapers and other things. But it's also what we see around us is an awakening that the Holy Spirit gives us revelation knowledge to see. So it's not just natural knowledge, it's also a supernatural knowledge to be individuals who are able to discern the times. You know that the tribe of Issachar was commended because they had men who could discern the times that they lived in. In other words, they were not ignorant of what was happening. So we need to make sure that we're not ignorant of what is happening. One thing that is on my heart, and it is now time to organize, is that for the upcoming elections, that we have an election guide for Martin County. We haven't. So we need a Christian election guide for Martin County that will actually define and delineate the positions of candidates that are running for office, as well as the judges. They need to be vetted. We need to put them on the spot. So one of the things that the Alliance is going to look to do is bring the Martin County, St. Lucie County, bring the politicians together and nail them down on the primary biblical issues and say, "Where do you stand on this issue?" And make it public and then produce guides. And then I would love to see one of those guides mailed out to every house in Martin and St. Lucie County. Because the media is not going to give that kind of a guide, and the newspaper is not going to give that kind of a guide. And many people simply do not know what they're a part of. So these are important things. And I'm glad that God has, for this season, allowed me to be a part of the Alliance, because God has given us a voice to many leaders in the region that are... Some are political, many are spiritual, but we also have many business leaders, and it's a growing list of leaders that are saying, "This is my watch, and I'm to stand up for Jesus while I'm here." Now, if Jesus comes today, how many of you know we're looking for well done, thou good and faithful servant? Amen? And we're ready for that. We want to be ready for that. But the Word of God says, occupy until I come. 1965. This is over 50 years ago. Paul Harvey did one of his scripts that was called, If I Were the Devil. Some of you may have heard this. This was read at our staff meeting this week. And I know that some of the Alliance pastors are going to be reading this in their pulpits. Because there's a reason why I want to do this. Not because you're ignorant of what he saw 50 years ago. But because many people were sleeping 50 years ago. Rather than this message being a wake-up, many believed 50 years ago that Jesus was going to come soon and there was no reason to do anything. So how many of you know that a lot of our children and grandchildren are not serving God like we would like them today because the schools educated them and perverted them and the enemy has basically gobbled up the youth? But there is good news. I just saw an article this last week, and this is one of the campus ministries that's national, that last year there was a 20% increase in first-time conversions on our college campuses. That is awesome. There are more and more young people that are beginning to be turned and are returning back to God. And if you pull up some of these worship videos, you're going to see auditoriums that are packed with 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 young people across our nation in major cities and major events. Often their hands are raised, they're dancing, they have a lot more energy than I have. But they're worshiping God. God is on the move. So I want you to know that even though 50 years ago there were some that could see what was coming, the rest of the story is God is still coming. Jesus is coming. And God is at work in spite of all the enemy's plans. God is showing some of you things, revelation knowledge. You may be having some dreams and visions. And I would encourage you to journal what God is saying to you during these days of fasting and prayer. Because it's important. It's important that it's heard. Paul Harvey said, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. I'd have a third of its real estate and 4/5 of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you, as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves. Churches at war with themselves and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellectuals, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let them run wild. Until before you knew it, you would have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Remember, this is 50 years ago. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon, I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, then from the House of Congress, and in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and defy science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I would take from those who have and give to those who want until I had killed the innocent incentive of the ambitious. And what do you bet I could get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich? I would caution against extremes in hard work and patriotism in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be, and thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what I've been doing. That was 50 years ago that was said. You can find that online if you pull that up. Let's get into the Word of God. Somebody asked Dr. Cho one time, Dr. Cho, what is your secret to being a part of the largest church in the United States? Not in the United States, in the world. The largest church in the world. And Dr. Cho said, the world presents the problem, God presents the solution. He said, I pray and I obey. I simply preach God's truth. That's the solution to the mess in the world. Zephaniah chapter 2 is one of the scriptures that God put on my heart for this year. We've been talking about going here for the last few weeks. We're here and we're going to be in Haggai this morning. Some will be review, obviously, because these passages are timeless. But Zephaniah chapter 2, gather together and pray, you shameless nation. This is actually a call of God. It's a prayer call. It's a challenge. It's not just for born-again believers or for confessing religious individuals, but it's for a nation. This was to Israel as a nation. It was a call of God. It was an opportunity to return. Gather together and pray, you shameless nation. And I have to put focus on shameless because as sin is given a platform in a nation, it becomes more and more acceptable until there's no embarrassment anymore. To where things that at one time would cause one to blush, there's no more blushing. And at one time, what was unacceptable and only happened in the darkness, in the shadow of the night, once it comes into the light, remember, what's it been about 10, 15 years ago? We heard all this talk about coming out of the closet. What was that about? That was about, don't be ashamed of your sin, America. Don't be ashamed of your immorality, of your perverted lifestyles. Don't be ashamed of that. Come out of the closet. Let everybody know. Be proud of who you are. This call to prayer is a call to a nation that lost its ability to blush. Gather while there's still time, before judgment begins and your opportunity is blown away like chaff. All of us would know this, but I must just say it, that the civilizations of history, you can look at them and you can chart their rise and you can chart their fall. And any nation that begins to lose its morality and begins to destroy and divide its marriage and the covenant in the home, as that begins to happen, the entire foundation of the nation begins to slowly crumble. And it's almost imperceivable. It's almost like the coming of night in the afternoon. It moves so quickly, your eyes will sort of adjust to the darkness, and you can almost say, well, I can still see a little bit. We can still see a little bit in America because there are righteous people here. But when the rapture takes place, I would not want to be on the planet that day after the church has been taken away. Because the Holy Spirit in the church is like a giant life preserver that's being thrown to our nation and the nations of the world. And there's hope and there's salvation, and today's a day of salvation. Today's a day of forgiveness. Today's a day of deliverance. And that day is still here, but time will run out, and it is running out. Because judgment is coming. Before judgment begins and your opportunity is blown away like chaff. Act now before the fierce fury of the Lord falls and the terrible day of the Lord. You read through the Old Testament, you're going to see this. The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. Great study as required to do when I was in college on the day of the Lord, looking up every passage about the day of the Lord. What is the day of the Lord? The day of the Lord is when the Lord says, enough. I've had enough. There's been enough murder. There's been enough abuse. There's been enough destruction, enough destroyed children, abused children, enough trafficking, enough drug addiction, enough of the gangs, enough of the pain, enough of sickness, enough of disease, enough of evil reigning on the earth. And God's going to say enough. And the day of the Lord, God is going to show up. I can't say to you that what's happening in Israel this morning is the last page before that happens, but I'll tell you, it's one of the last pages. What you're reading in the news right now is one of the last pages. Because the Word of God told us this would happen, that Israel would come back. The Word of God told us. And so this Wednesday, I will have Rabbi Zamstein, and I'm going to be giving him an opportunity to share his testimony of how he came to faith. His story is powerful. He's just one of dozens, hundreds, thousands now of Messianic believers. There's well over 100,000 in Israel, Messianic believers. We're not sure exactly how many. Probably closer to maybe 200, 250,000 in Israel right now. With almost every community, with at least a house witness of Messianic believers, God is on the move in Israel. This is a new day. It is still a day of salvation, and that's exciting for us because God has us here as those who are hanging on to the lifelines, right? So gather together, act now, beg the Lord to save you. all of you who are humble, all who uphold justice, walk humbly, do what is right. There's a remnant in the midst of the nation. The remnant is challenged to be humble and to cry out to God. This is why I believe our opening year fasting is so appropriate and so needed. Because repeatedly, on a Wednesday night we talked about this, whether you look at Nineveh or you look at Ahab being the wickedest man on the earth when he humbled himself, out of humility there's mercy birthed. And so here we see this, perhaps even yet the Lord will protect you from his anger on that day of destruction. Now let's go to Haggai. It's next door, to the left. To the left. So we look around. The Holy Spirit is revealing what's going on around us. We're not ignorant. We're not in the dark. We're not like those who don't know what's happening. We're not going to be shocked when the rapture happens. We're looking for the rapture to happen. So we look around, there is a certain perspective that we see. But when we look around, we, because you're in Christ, know that we do not look around to find out who we are or where we're going. We must look up. And we do. And how do we look up? We look up by being in the Word of God every day. Every day. We need to be in the Word of God every day. I love the one-year Bibles. I've worn out several. And I like them because it is an organized discipline to take you through the entire Word of God in a year. And I know some will tell you it's only 15 minutes a day or 20 minutes a day or something like that. But could I just ask you a question? If it takes you 30 minutes a day, is that too much time to give looking up? So I've never really found that on most days that 20 minutes was really adequate for the 1 year reading of the Word of God. But kind of a average minimum was about 30 minutes. But you could split that up and you could do 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes over lunch break and 10 minutes at dinner, right? What I'm saying is if most of your looking is around you, you will not understand many things. If you're not disciplined to look up, by that we're referring to seeking God. And so we have what's going on around us. We have the revelation of the Word of God by the Spirit of God. And God has promised to lead us that the steps of the righteous are what? Led of the Lord. And so then if we understand those two things from this passage of Scripture we're going to look at today, there's a third place that I believe is really important, and that is, we don't have to look down because God is going to put our feet on a solid foundation. So yes, we do see what's going on around, but we have a determined, disciplined lifestyle of looking up. And because of that, we are grounded on a solid foundation. All of this we see in the prayers and the cry of the prophet's heart as he cries out. Chapter 1 of Habakkuk, we're not going to read all these verses because we can't, don't have time. But Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 2, we hear that there is a question, there is a cry. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. The prophet saying, I'm praying and I don't see anything happening. This, I believe, is is a danger of only looking at what the enemy is doing. This is why when after watching the New Year's Eve service with Jonathan Cahn, I immediately was moved to do research to find out everything positive about God on the move in 2023. And I didn't bring those notes with me this morning. That's for another morning. But there is a lot that God is doing, has been doing. Asbury's just one of those things. The dozens of other colleges, both sacred and secular, where there's been a sovereign move of God. Baptism, the largest water baptism for new believers ever in our history, took place last year in California. One of the largest individual baptisms from a local community took place last year in Northern California with over 1,000 at that baptism. This is not just in the United States. This is global. In the midst, my wife is always talking about the persecuted church. The persecuted church is exploding with growth. Around the nations of the earth, we see the evil like this wicked boiling cauldron that is there. But be aware of the fact that we're living in the latter rain season, which means just as though for 400 years there was silence and then Yeshua came, and before he left he said, "Wait, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit." And then on the day of Pentecost, the church was ignited and empowered and released. And the word says that just as the harvest needs a former, it also needs a latter rain to ripen the harvest.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
There's no show tonight, my friend. This is the real thing. Will this darkness never end? What will the dawn bring? I don't know the words, but somewhere I've heard you spoke and the storm obeyed. I'm hoping it's true. If I come to you, you won't turn me away. Speak to the storm on the raging sea of the doubt in me. Speak to the storm, for the voyage is long and I can't go on till you speak to the storm. It wouldn't be very hard for someone like you. They say you know every word before I am through. Come still the waves, I've tried to be brave, but I don't know what to do. I'm taking a stand, my heart in your hand, and leaving me.